Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Was it the Cape Drive Time? Welcome back to the show. 072-238-0712 is the WhatsApp line. Query, comment, stroke, and or criticize. That's what you can do. Public Protector Busiswe Makubane today went to court in a bid to challenge Parliament's rules on how to remove the head of a Chapter 9 institution. Looks like she's trying to hang in. Makubane is applying for an interim interdict on removal processes pending a judicial review. National Assembly Speaker Tunde Modise is opposing the application. Online is political science lecturer at the University of South Africa, Professor Dirk Kotze. Professor, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much.
All right, a public protector going to court to challenge Parliament. Judging by her past record at court, it looks like she may be given another hiding.
Yes, and I think one has to keep in mind that there's actually two court cases in the pipeline or running at the same time. This one is about the fact that she wants the interdict against the Speaker not to continue with the process as it has unfolded already, and that is to establish a committee of three experts to do the initial investigation. The other court case is about her challenge to the constitutionality of the procedures in general, or the document that was approved by Parliament that sets out the procedure. So there's actually two concurrent processes, and I think in both cases she will have an uphill struggle in order to get a positive response.
Yeah, it's sad. Her record in court, considering she comes from the legal profession, is absolutely atrocious. One's almost wondering why is she doing this, because isn't this going to inflame and anger those who want her to go just a little bit more, motivate them just to push her a little bit harder?
Well, I think, you know, some people have referred in the past to President Zuma's style as that of a Stalingrad style of defending each trench one by one. And I think she's doing something quite similar, and that is that she knows she's at a very late stage in terms of trying to protect herself against several opponents, and now including Parliament also. And therefore she takes any opportunity possible, and especially legal measures, in order to try to defend herself. But I think most people see it as a way in which it's almost a concession that she knows that it's going to be very difficult for her to survive this.
Who's going to pay the bills? Is it going to be us again?
Well, that will be a determination by the court, obviously. I think will be difficult to argue that this is something which he did in... Well, let's put it this way. The question will be, actually, does he do it in a personal capacity, or does she do it as part of her responsibilities as the public protector? And that is not an obvious answer for this, because it is obviously about her position as the public protector, but whether it is for her personal interest or whether it's in the interest of the public protector's office, I think that will be the final question. And for me, the answer looks like it is for her in her interest, and not so much the general interest of the public protector's office.
Yeah, she seems to be couching it in the way Parliament has to look at how they can or cannot remove the head of Chapter 9 institutions, such as the public protector's office.
Yeah, and I think there's an additional consideration here, which is not yet being referred to, and that is this, that the rules of procedure that Parliament adopted for the removal of the public protector, and it doesn't refer to the other nine institutions, because some of them are commissioned, so it doesn't follow the same procedure. is that almost 99% of these procedures are identical to the procedures for the removal of the president, the so-called impeachment procedures. So if she is successful with this, it will almost have an automatic implications on the constitutionality of those rules that Parliament also actually adopted before they adopted these rules for the public protector. And that will make it sort of a double whammy for both for Parliament.
But I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I cannot see Ms. Mukabane walking away a victor in these court cases. I mean, I'm not a legal expert, but if I think that it's not going to fly, and I'm not a legal expert, it looks like she is going to get another spanking from yet another judge.
Yes, that looks like the case, but I think one has to be slightly reserved about one aspect, and that is the procedural aspect. We, in our legal system, very much applies the principle of natural justice. And one of those principles within natural justice is the so-called aure alterum partem rule, and that is that you must give the other party an opportunity to put their case forward and to, for example, also to comment on whether when you are going to take a decision about that person. And this is what this specific application is about. She's arguing that she wasn't notified beforehand by the speaker of that this process is going to proceed. And on the basis of that, she wants the interdict set in place so that it cannot continue further. What will become an interesting point of this case is that further down the line, there's ample opportunity for the public protector built into these procedures to state her case and to participate in the investigation and to answer to the conclusions of this panel when it is dealt with by a committee of parliament that is established. So whether that will be compensatory in nature for the accusation that she is making about the very start of the process, I think this is going to be, in essence, one of the main points that the court must decide.
Yeah, it's going to be technicality upon technicality, and I suppose we can't accuse the public protector of not being able to multitask because she's clutching a straw and splitting her hair both at the same time.
Yes, and I think what she does realize is that although in the past it was mainly the DA who was critical of her and started with these proceedings or tabled the motion, but I think within the ANC and especially since the court judgments about the report of the public protector with respect to President Ramaphosa, when she lost that, I think it was turning the tide against her also within the ANC and the parliamentary caucus of the ANC specifically. So there are very few persons or groups or parties, except for the EFF to some extent, who still support her.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting where all of this actually takes us. Obviously, National Assembly Speaker Thandi Modise is opposing this application. So it's going to be interesting because, as you've correctly said, the public protector will have a chance to have a say when she meets the committees in Parliament, and surely one would reason if she had nothing to hide, then she's got nothing to hide, and it doesn't matter that she has to appear before Parliament. So this almost looks like trying to put a Band-Aid on before the wound.
Yes, and I think but her intention is to stop it at a very early stage before it reaches that point, because as you indicated, it seems as if there's a lot of evidence coming from the judgments of several court judges that is all available as evidence against her, as well as the fact that there's so many points of criticism about how she dealt with. I mean, one of the ones that received a lot of attention was the Estina Dairy Farm project in the Free State, in which the Guptas and others were involved in, and the fact that she, for example, didn't investigate Ashma Gasule and other senior political officials, but only more administrative officials or departmental officials. And that was seen as a gross neglect in terms of the procedure that she followed for her investigation. Now, there are several examples of that, plus where the courts were saying, well, she simply does not understand the law in South Africa, and she applied it incorrectly. Now, the person who is the public protector, there is a requirement that that person must have either experience of 10 years in practicing of law, as well as qualifications in law. So it is an absolute requirement that that person not only has sort of a general understanding of the law, but is actually an expert in applying the law.
I'm almost getting the impression that she's worried about being cross-questioned, because, you know, if you look at the Zondo Commission yesterday and the day before, Mr. Weekend Special, Des van Rooyen, his unfortunate body language shifting around all the time, his inability to answer the questions of Judge Zondo and the investigative people at the Zondo Commission. I can't see Ms. Mokobani doing any better. So maybe she's seen the writing on the wall that if she does get to that stage, she's going to get fried.
Yes, I suspect that that is the way in which she understands it. Therefore, her approach is try to avoid it at all costs and put in as many obstacles as possible. And that's where this referral to the notion of a Stalingrad strategy comes in, you know, is just set up obstacles as many as possible in order to avoid a conclusion in the end.
But of course, ultimately, maybe she needs to give JZ a call, and she find out that you can only Stalingrad for a certain amount of time, because the more you put it off, the bigger the boulder becomes, and the worse it actually becomes. That if it's inevitable, it's inevitable, and fighting it the Stalingrad way is not going to do her any favors.
Yes, and it's obviously very unfortunate in terms of the bigger picture of South Africa, because the public protector has become one of the most important elements of dealing with corruption in the public sector, dealing with unethical conduct in the public sector, and has become one of the symbols of the independence of the Chapter 9 institutions, the impact of the Constitution, the role of the judiciary. So these are the important cornerstones or pillars that we need for a situation where we are at the moment in South Africa, to say that these are the elements of a democracy or constitutionalism which will carry us through difficult times. And if that is implicated or sort of compromised as it is at the moment, it's definitely not a good sort of place to be for the public protector's office.
Do you think that Ms. Mokobani hopefully can be a lesson for the ruling party? Because when they were screening candidates to be public protector, this lady wasn't top of the list at all. In fact, there was another sitting judge who everybody thought was going to get the nod and who was eminently the best candidate for the job. I'm not going to mention names at this stage. She was kind of accelerated to the top of the list, and it looked to me as if it was a party appointment that she was pushed up the list, because maybe she would be more friendly to the state capture agenda. What do you think of all of that?
Well, that is definitely one of the sort of perceptions that exist about her. The fact that it became known that she was, well, and the last part of her career, she was openly employed by the state security agency, the intelligence agency. In her first number of decision-making processes and reports, it became known that she actually consulted her old colleagues there. Later it became known that she was actually, when she was working for the Home Affairs in the South African Embassy in Beijing, she was actually also employed by the intelligence services, South African intelligence services there. So it compromised in a sense the notion of independence. And I think for the ANC, it will be and ultimately a lesson that you, when it comes to institutions like this, you have to appoint persons who are not seen as just sympathetic towards you as a party, but ultimately can serve in the national interest, because that will in the end will also be in the interest of government and of the governing party. But if you have a very narrow approach and you want just someone there who can serve your particular interest for that moment, it can jeopardize you in the end. And I think this is the lesson that they possibly have learned from her. And what is also, I think, one has to remind ourselves of that is that when she was appointed, the EFF was against it.
That's right,
but
yes.
Over time, they turned around, and now they are the lonely supporters of her. And it's very difficult to understand exactly what is their motivation for doing that.
Yeah, I think time will only tell on that, but a compromised candidate from day one. Professor Dirk Kotze, political science lecturer, UNISA, talking to us about the public protector, Busisiwe Makhubane, going to court to challenge Parliament on their move to try and remove her as head of a Chapter 9 institution. We'll watch this one closely. Professor Dirk Kotze, thanks for chatting to us. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.